So how's everybody doing today? Doing good? Lord blessing you? Good. Mama, you have something special on your mind right now? We've been talking about repentance, haven't we? And I think last week we talked about what a false repenter was. You know, a good example of it, of course, is Esau and his generations. Those Edomites were false repenters. They caused problems all the way up from the time of him being, you know, Jacob's brother, all the way up until the time of Christ and then Paul afterwards. Because those Herods that you read so much about, you know, King Herod the Great, Herod the Tetrarch, all of them, believe it or not, that is a Jewish and Edomite mixture of those kings. And they always came back and gave Jesus problems from his birth through the crucifixion, through the resurrection, you know, bothering the apostles and stuff, and then all the way into Paul. They all mention Herods of some type, don't they? Well, those are part Edomites. And so they don't like to repent. And they like to come and oppose the things that are of God. So that went through all those generations. And that spirit, is it in your world? Is the Bible in you? It's in there, isn't it? Yeah, very important. So, going to continue in repentance. There's something that, gosh, I wrote a few notes down here. God's been staying, my mind's been staying on repentance, you know. Because if we don't repent, this, what do we have to go forward in God in? Remember when John was out there baptizing and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they came, they were looking. Remember, they were looking as he was baptizing, and he saw them over. They said, what'd you come out here to see? Come out here to see a reed, you know, swaying in the wind? Is that what you came out here to see? Because you couldn't have come out here for repentance. You're standing back, afar off, looking at what I'm doing. They were. They just stood back and looked and watched the people getting baptized. But he said, these people have brought forth what? Fruit meet for repentance. In other words, they knew they had to repent of something. Pharisees and Sadducees always thought, I'm fine. You know, there's no problem with me. So they never thought they had to repent of what they were doing. And the whole time were in sin. The whole time was in unbelief. The whole time was causing opposition to Jesus during his ministry and before, during, and after. Opposition. That's the type of stuff that started to happen. So he's telling them, John gave him a warning, and we're going to see what this warning comes out like further on when we start speaking. But he gave him a warning. He said, you know what? The axe is already at the root of the tree. It's already laid at the root of the tree, and that means something, guys. We'll get into it more in a little bit. But he said the axe is already laid at the root of the tree. But what did he preach? What was John preaching? Repentance. Repentance is what he was preaching. So we go to, I think it's Luke 13, and I want you to think about what I'm going to say here. I'm not going to read all of this. It would take too much time to read all of it, but I'm just going to go through the outline of it so that you get an idea of what's actually going on here. So some people came to Jesus, and they started a conversation with him. And the conversation was, did you hear what Pilate did? You know how we hear something, we say, you hear what so-and-so did? You hear what? Have you ever heard that sissy somebody say, you see what he did? And so what did he do? I'm paraphrasing now. He said that when they went to offer, some Jews went to offer something, a sacrifice in the temple, and the Jews were still doing sacrifices in the temple. They had given Pilate so much trouble that he sent some of his soldiers over there to kill some of them while they were offering the sacrifice. And their blood was mingled with the blood of the sacrifice. That's that Pilate was not a benign guy. You know, when you read about how he's talking with Jesus, you kind of think maybe he said, well, this man is, you know, he hasn't done any wrong. But still, he wasn't a benign guy. The reason being, he was so afraid of his position being lost in some kind of way. And so he wasn't very benign about how he treated the Jews and how he treated other people, too. If he had to send those soldiers to take care of business, he would do it, you know. So their blood was mingled with the sacrifice there. So was that murder? Yeah, he sent purposely. He said, these Jews give me so much trouble, I'm going to show them that I have power. In their temple, and killed them while they were offering the sacrifice. In the temple. And so their blood was mingled with the blood of the sacrifice. Then the second thing Jesus tells them about, he says, well, you told me about this. Let me tell you about something. Let me tell you about those 18 men that died when that tower fell on them. And I think it's Siloam or something like that, where the tower fell on them. And the question he keeps asking them, he said, were these men sinners above all sinners? The ones that were killed in the temple that Pilate killed there, did this happen to them because they were sinners above all sinners? He said, nay, but unless you repent, you also perish likewise. And then he tells them about the tower that falls on the 18 people. He says, unless you repent. He said, were these the greatest sinners ever? You know, he said, no. In fact, the first one was murder, premeditated. The second one's an accident. Isn't that true? A tower falls over, kills 18 people. So he's saying the circumstances are completely different, aren't they? But he said, unless you repent, you're going to perish likewise. And so they're saying, wow, what is he talking about? He goes a little bit further. There's a parable he starts giving them. Jesus starts to speak this parable. He speaks about the parable of a tree being planted in a vineyard. And he says that, he tells the dresser of the vineyard, he said, cut this tree down. I've come here 3 years looking for fruit and haven't found any. And he said, why cumbereth the ground? Why even waste time on it? Go on and cut it down. And the dresser of the vineyard, the gardener, what did Mary suppose Jesus was when he was raised from the dead? Thought he was a gardener. And so he goes to the gardener, and the gardener appeals to him. He says, okay, because it says this is a certain man. Sometimes when you see that, it's talking about what God is doing, because the parable is trying to show you something that God wants you to realize in the parable. And so he said, the dresser comes up and he says, yeah, give me another year. Let me, you know, dung it and do all the stuff, you know, water it and whatever. And then if it doesn't bear any fruit, then we'll cut it down, whatever. I want you to look at something here. Jesus has been preaching for 3 years already when he's saying this. 3 years of preaching. And who had not accepted anything that he had preached? Pharisees, Sadducees, the Jews in general, huh? Very few of the Jews believed on him. You know, remember it says it's supposed to go to the Jew first and then to the Gentile, right? So very few of the Jews believed on him. And this was the key. He said, I've come here 3 years looking for fruit. This is in the parable, and I don't see any fruit. Israel, you have not brought any fruit of repentance unto me. Why did I say Israel? Fig tree. That was a fig tree that was planted in that vineyard, and it was always typifying Israel, the fig tree, and the fruit on that tree. You understand what I'm saying? You go back to Hosea, I think it is, and in Jeremiah, you'll see all through those books where it talks about the fig tree and how Israel's supposed to be like the fig. God always expects, remember that tree that he cursed when he went to the city that one time? He went looking for figs on that, and there was nothing on it. And he cursed it and went to the city. When they came out, was the tree already shriveled up? And the disciples marveled at that. I hope you guys are understanding he's talking about a man. And he's talking about the fruit that man is supposed to produce. And he's talking about Israel specifically in this place. He's saying, you know, Israel, 3 years I've been preaching, and you have not brought any fruit meet for repentance. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about. You haven't brought any fruit meat for repentance. You haven't brought anything that justifies your a true repentance. You're so busy looking and judging and so forth. Isn't that what people do? They'll see other people working toward the things of God, but they'll sit back and look and judge. What happened when Moses used to go to the tent of meeting, the tabernacle, when he would meet God? Anybody remember what happened all the time there? What did the people do? They'd never go up to it. They just stand back and watch them. Joshua didn't do that. Remember how I said there's just certain people that believe God, certain Jews that believe God, small in number, huh? Waiting on the consolation of the Lord. But very few of them. But the children of Israel would stand back and watch Moses go there. Joshua said, y'all can stand back. I'm going to go up there. I'm going to be with them. And Joshua started joining himself to Moses when he met, and God would actually literally come and meet him at the door of the temple, the Spirit of God. And they would see that, and they would say, oh my goodness, and they were afraid of God. They always thought God had a different motive in them, like he wanted to kill them or something. That's not what God wanted. God wanted him to draw. He did that openly. Hey, come on. Draw, draw, draw. Now, who draws us now? How does it work now? We're drawn by the Spirit. We cannot come to Jesus unless what? The Father draws us. Isn't that true? We can't come to the Father unless Jesus draws us. That's true. That's just the way it works. So he goes through this whole parable of the fig tree, and what he's really talking about is Israel. He said, look, and John had already said the axe is already laid at the root of the tree, right? That's what I said. This is how this comes to pass. Are you going to start, are you going to do what you need to do in order to come to me? And they weren't. And he knew there was going to be a time there'd be somebody else that'll come to him. Those Gentiles that come to him. Are we the new Israel? Did the Gentile graft itself into that tree? Yes, it did. And the new Israel will come to him. And the new Israel will repent and have abiding repentance within. You see how this works, the difference? And so there's one more thing he said that there's so much in this chapter. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to shorten everything. And there was a woman that came into the synagogue and she was bowed over. And she had been, can you imagine being bowed over and bound for 18 years, bent over? 18. And Jesus saw her and he said, come here. And he laid his hands on her. And she was immediately straightened. And guess what the leader of the synagogue said? He became indignant. He said, there's 6 days of the week that you can heal people and come to the synagogue. So why do you have to heal her on the Sabbath? Because it was the Sabbath day. He said, why'd you have to do that work on the Sabbath? And Jesus, this is one of those times he answered immediately back, said, thou hypocrite, addressing it right to him. Say, you hypocrite. He said, don't you have an ass or an ox or something like that in your thing there on the Sabbath? Don't you take it to water it every day? You don't stop on the Sabbath day. You loose it to go get water and then bring it back. And this daughter of Abraham, now that's very important. She's a daughter. Does she have some faith? Uh-huh. This daughter of Abraham has been bowed over these 18 years, and he makes a very important statement. Says she's been bound by Satan for 18 years. Think about that. Think about that, Tim. This girl had been bound by Satan. Satan did that to her. And people say, wait, 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 wait. How does that work? It works because you join yourself to a thought. You join yourself to something that causes you to feel like you're condemned. And she's bent over with the weight of it, the bearing the burden of it. And that's what Satan did to her. And Jesus saw her and said, come here. Laid his hands on her. She straightened up. And that guy got indignant and said this in front of everybody in the synagogue. And Jesus said, that's it. You said it openly. I'm going to rebuke you openly. You hypocrite. He said, don't you do that to your ass and your ox. You'll let it loose and go get some water. And they knew that. And he was ashamed. But I want you to think about something. Was Pilate offended when he mingled that blood of those that he didn't like what the Jews had done in their offering and how he caused them? They caused him problem by rebelling against his governorship. So he killed him. The man that had the garden there, remember he said, give me some more time. Give me some more time and see if we can bring some fruit forth. Fruit meat for repentance. And then this one here. The leader of the synagogue, indignant at Jesus, at the Messiah. You think he was offended at him? I'm still talking about offense, guys, and I'm talking about repentance too. So what happens is what we need to do is stay, abide in repentance. We have to walk in repentance all the time. Always be ready to repent. Be ready. And that doesn't mean every 2 seconds I repent because I thought this, I repent, and I didn't. That's not what it's talking about. The abiding in the repentance is what God reveals to you that you need to repent of. Remember those people that went out there with John? They knew what they were going out there for. But he talked to those Pharisees and these Sadducees. He said, what did you come to see? You generation of vipers. He calls them vipers. You're nothing but vipers. You didn't come out there to come to have your souls relieved. You went out there just to see what people are going to do so you can condemn, which is what they did. That's exactly. They said, who is this man? But they were afraid of John a little bit because he had so many people coming to him. And remember, he's the great forerunner. Did he have the Holy Ghost? He had the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Was the Holy Ghost working in him? And they could not speak against it, could they? Woo, this is powerful stuff. And people were drawn to him. Well, what do you think happened when Jesus came on the scene? Is he full of the Holy Ghost? Is he the Holy Ghost? And he draws people unto him. even in his crucifixion, said, if I be lifted up, I'll do what? I'll draw all men unto me. That lifting up was that crucifixion, Ceci. He said, if I get crucified, you're going to see that. But then the other thing he wanted them to see is what? 3 days later, I'm going to get up again, and I'll appear to many, and which he did. One time he appeared to 500 men above, huh? They looked at me and said, woo, 500 men saw Jesus at one time. There's all instances. They talk about the different instances for the 40 days or so until they went to the day of Pentecost. What I'm trying to get across to you is that you have to walk in repentance. You may not think that you need to repent of things, but you know what? It's revealed to you. You know what you need to repent of. I'm just going to tell you that. Every one of you in here knows what you need to repent of. You know the things that you join yourself to. You know the things that you think about. You know the things that you're comfortable with that are not like God. You know all of those things within yourself. God has revealed it, or else God would be a liar. He has revealed it. He's revealed it by his Spirit. And I want you to just start thinking about these things. And as God brings them to you, learn how to repent. Learn to walk in repentance. So what is repentance? Somebody tell me, what is it? What is it really? Say it out. What is it? A turning away from what? From sin and iniquity? What else? Turn away from your own thoughts. What else? There's something else you got to do after you turn away. Then you got to turn back toward God, don't you? There said, it's talked about a repentance performing the works of God. So how do you know what those works are? Who reveals them to you? The Spirit does. God does. He reveals to you the works that he wants you to do. Every single thing. It's not like you're unaware. And he tells us even the devices of the adversary, you're not ignorant of them. There's things that he has revealed to you about how this works in you. We're talking about joining ourselves to spirits, huh? Do we have to repent from the things we allow ourselves to be joined to and perform? You know, we keep concentrating so much on the outward. It's time to turn everything inward. It's not about how you live your life here. That's just going to be a result from your thoughts. That's all that is. It's how you think. It's your consciousness toward God. Do you have a consciousness of wanting to repent? Or do you have a consciousness that I'll continue in my flesh? I'll continue on with what I'm thinking. I'll continue on with what I'm doing. See, that's what we do. Is that where the battle takes place? We got to get that consciousness right, man. We got to get our thoughts right. And then once you get your thoughts right, you turn. You turn away from what you were doing that you know is not pleasing to God, and you turn toward faith in God. And the God will perform those works in you. Very powerful, huh? So do we need to abide in repentance? We need to walk in it. We need to have a mind that you're willing to repent. No matter how comfortable you are with what's going on in your life, you may have been doing it for years, whatever. No matter how comfortable you are, you got to be able to lay that aside and say, you know what John said? The axe is laid at the root of the tree. Remember what he said he wanted to do to that tree? Why cumbereth the ground? Cut it down. But Jesus intervened with mercy and said, give us another year, didn't he? Give me another year. Give us another chance. Let your mercy come forth. Give it another chance and see if it'll change. Does God do that with us all the time? Oh, his mercy, his long-suffering, his grace. He does it all the time. This is a powerful thing. Abide in repentance. Walk in it. Let it be part of you. Whenever something, oh, time. It's time for this thought to go. I'm going to repent. I'm going to give it to God and let God help me overcome this thing. Isn't that true? So the stirring of the waters. You think they're stirred so that you can repent? Most assuredly. Who preached repentance? John the Baptist? Who else? Jesus? Who else? The apostles. You see how this worked? They all preached repentance. Must be pretty important, huh? So you have to walk in it. You have to abide in it. Let it abide in your inward parts to be able to repent. I'm going to finish up with this. What did David say about his heart? Create in me a what? And a right spirit. Isn't that true? That's what God wants. Sometimes you have to create a new one in you. Because that's what the repentance is going to be all about. Cleanse me, Lord. Make me what I need to be. Cleanse me. Inside out, right? We put everything outward. Let it be from the inside. and then it'll show up outward, won't it? Everything will change for you. People start saying, you know, you're kind of a strange guy, you know, and the people you're with are kind of strange. Well, why is that? Why am I peculiar? Because God's changed me from the inside out. And repentance is what I walk in. Repentance is what I abide in. It abides in me because Christ abides in me. The Spirit of God abides in me. And is he always constantly trying to get us to a place where we can be cleansed before him? That's true. So we need to abide in repentance. Does that make sense? Anybody have a question for me about what I just said? About abiding in it, walking in it? Always be ready. That's all I'm saying is always be ready to repent. Don't hang on to stuff that you need. Don't need to hang on to. Always be ready to repent. Let your heart be ready to repent. And repentance takes care of a lot of things, guys. If you can sincerely repent from your heart, not like the false ones, like the Edomites that didn't mean it. It wants to be sincere because it's inward and not outward. Edomites did it outwardly. Isn't what Esau did? He cried, a lot of tears. And sought it with tears and whatever. But God knew. He said, oh, no, I still hate that spirit that's in you. That's what he told him, huh? Still hate it because you didn't actually repent. You didn't actually turn and go another way. All you're doing is crying your crocodile tears. And us looking from the outside, we say, oh, my goodness, he must really want to repent. Really? I know a lot of people that cry crocodile tears. I've seen them do it. And you know what? Some of them can do it instantly. They can do it just instantly. Oh, I didn't mean that. Oh, and they're crying. Yeah, they're pretty good at it. They got some actresses and actors that can do that, huh? On cue. Tears. How many of you have ever seen these people on court when they convict them and stuff? And they're going, ooh. And what Claudette and I, we always look and see. Never see one tear drop down about what they killed. I don't know how many people. Do whatever, and they're shaking and doing the whole thing. And I said, Mama, look at his face. Look at, not one tear. They're going through all the motions, but not one tear. Watch it when you see some of them. No tears. None. Pretty bad, huh? Hope you got something out of what we said today. Always abide in repentance. Does that make sense, guys? Abiding in repentance?
Yes, sir.
Always be willing to repent. And turn and go another way and allow God to bring you on into his faith. And you'll do things, works by faith when you do that.